didn't you, brother?
Ryan didn't answer him.
Yes, you did. And I love it. My dogs love it. Even my trained boars love being hunted, using their sharp tusks to rip open bellies and throats. Ah, yes, the hunt.
Hunt them?
Rachel suddenly came alive. She gave Ryan a look of such intent that it puzzled him, not understanding what lay at the back of her vicious and ambitious mind. Seeing his blank face, she turned away from him, biting her lip in disappointment.
Yes, hunt them! Sergeant, get everything ready. We shall ride out at noon. Horses, weapons, all the shipmen that can be spared from the village defense. We eat at 11.
The dogs too, Lord?
Of course, Cretan! Make sure they have no food today.
And the old man and the girl?
The old what? Oh, them. Well, keep them. They could do us no harm. I'll question the girl tonight. I shall be in the mood then.
How about these prisoners?
Feed them. We are kind, brother, are we not? Give them clothes and boots. Keep them locked up and bring them to the drawbridge at 11. They shall have an hour's start. Escort them out to the Oxbow Loop. We'll hunt them in there. String out a patrol so they can't break back. This will be...
He paused and hugged himself gleefully.
No blasters, brother?
Last time you gave me this, Ryan.
Harvey touched the puckered scar that deformed his mouth and nose.
A fair trade for your left eye.
Harvey stepped closer to his brother, his right shoulder hunched, leg trailing. To Ryan, he resembled a mutated, brilliant-colored spider.
Give us blades, then.
Blades, little man? Oh, you might cut yourself.
Close up, Ryan could see from his older brother's eyes that he floated in a sea of tranquilizers, his ferocious temper spurting through on occasion.
Scared might find and take throat out?
The sergeant raised a fist and moved toward the boy, who dropped into a fighting crouch. Harvey cowered back, hands tangled like a praying monk. Jack's white face stared menacingly at the sec man.
Not little well, bastard. Not forget.
He beckoned to the tall officer. The sergeant stopped, looking to the baron for orders.
Leave him. He can... He is... Why not a knife each? One hunting dagger for each man, and for the redhead witch.
Ryan dropped a deep bow to his brother.
One knife against all your men and dogs. Still the white-bellied coward, brother.
I could have you all torn and burned.
That would show your fear even better, fool. Close your mouth and let us go to our rooms. I have...
She let the sentence dangle in the dusty dawn light of the long vaulted hall. To have a knife was better than anything Ryan Carter could have hoped for. He'd sensed a new spring in the steps of his three friends. JB nodded to him almost imperceptibly as they parted company in the upper corridor. Jack whistled a song Ryan had heard before, something about feeling on fire. And Christy recovered from the horror of the dark night that had seared her soul. She almost glowed as she walked away from the hall. The threat of being burned alive had faced them all. Now they had a chance. Four blades against 30 or more men with M16s, horses, and dogs. The trader used to say that if you found yourself with no hope, or odds of a million to one, you took the long odds.
Long odds.
The sec man then slammed the door of his room, having chained him once more to the wall. His last meal was soup and fresh bread. Good soup, rich with vegetables, and half a loaf, still warm on the outside, sweet and crumbling on the inside. They freed his hands to eat, but left the chain around his neck. One of the guards stared curiously at him.
You're truly Lord Ryan Calder, aren't you? My father spoke well about you until his death.
It was speaking well cost him his life. Baron said I'm waltzing on air on the River Road these 5 years past.
If Harvey is such a blood-eyed chiller, why not rise against him?
Would you swallow the barrel of a blaster? First man to say treason dies, and the second. The Baron is careful and ruthless. It would take a great rising in his death and his lady's.
Enough. Lock him up again. Let's get out of here before we do the oxygen jig like your father did.
Ryan could just see the edge of the rising sun through the window. His guess was that it was around 11 o'clock. The sky was a light blue-green, tinted with flecks of orange cloud. Far below him, he could hear the excited yapping of the hunting dogs, sensing that they were to be set free on a hunt. Ryan closed his eye and tried to relax, but the sound of the door opening disturbed him. Oddly, he wasn't all that surprised to see that his visitor was Lady Rachel Cawdor. She stepped toward him, eyes bright in the sunlit room. The lady had obviously been enjoying several lines of jolt, and her whole body seemed to tremble with an eager anticipation.
Your life is measured in short hours, brother-in-law.
Ryan nodded, wondering why she had come yet again to see him. She drew nearer.
Don't you realize you're going to die?
We all are.
Oh, if we could only... But that's all water under the mill. You're 20 times the man your brother is. That blubbering pile of lard. It can still be done. I can have him done to death. Half the Ville would dance on his grave.
Replace him with me. The long chill is sweet compared to that.
But now Jabez has been taken by... By who, Ryan? Not wizards. Tell me how it was done. Where is the boy's corpse?
Hell, I hope.
You and I could rule the Shens and beyond, Ryan. I picked wrong with Harvey, and now he... I came to give you one last chance. Will you join me?
If I'm gonna die before dark, then I can go with that. It's paying the price to live with yourself on your own terms. Not something a murderous slut like you can understand. Just fuck off and leave me be, Rachel.
You scorn the chance to be one of the Lords of Life, Ryan. Then I leave you...
To the pleasure of my high vices, that I'll have to pay for at higher prices.
It was a line of verse that Doc was fond of using.
You think dying in the jaws of his dogs is going to be funny, you double stoop? I wish I could ride to watch, but Harvey'll take his funning, then come back for the yellow-haired girl in the cells. And life, Ryan Cawdor, will go on.
She stooped over him, and he felt the brush of her lips against the stubbled skin of his cheek, as cold as the tomb, her breath carrying the sharp flavor of jolt. Then she straightened and walked quickly to the door. She paused a moment with her hand on the latch, as if she were about to say more, but she turned away, without another word, and left him alone. Christy buckled the sheathed knife onto her leather belt. Jack drew his and tossed it a few times into the air, feeling for its balance before sheathing it at the small of his back. JB tested the edge against the palm of his hand, stooping and pressing the steel against the stones of the courtyard, trying out the tension of the blade. Ryan also drew the dagger that he'd been given. It had a handle of narrow strips of hide bound around a steel hilt. The blade was single-edged, very sharp, around 11 inches in length and 2 inches broad at the haft. It was a workmanlike hunting knife. He thought that it would probably do. The sun rode high in the heavens, its brassy glare beating down pitilessly on the forests and streams of the Shens. Ryan was the first one out of the rattling cart, jumping down and stretching, feeling the freedom in his shoulders and wrists. A flicker of movement high in the rack of lemon-yellow clouds caught his eye. He stared up at it and saw it was a massive, muty hawk with a wingspan of about 20 feet and a hooked beak that would take the arm off a man. JB, Jack, and finally Christy stepped out onto the dusty lane. The mounted Sekhmen gazed blank-faced at them, their rifles slung across their shoulders on webbing straps. The sergeant with the damaged mouth was in charge of the patrol, and as they had clattered along from the Ville, he told Ryan a little of what to expect.
Oxbow loops out. God damn it, that hurts my fucking tooth. Whenever I say oxbow loops, it's ow, god damn it. Anyway, oxbow things where the Baron does his manhunting. It's about 2 miles across. Be men blocking off this end, so the only way's in. River's too fast and wide to swim. And then Muty's on the far side if you want to try it. Rain we've had will make it swollen and twice as fast as usual. A lot of trees in there. Streams, no buildings. One trailer with gas store for the Ville's main generators. Nothing to help. Nobody to help. And nowhere to go. Nowhere.
One that lasted longest was a half-breed a couple years back. He made it for better than 2 hours, and he killed the dog.
Ryan knew his brother would be along with a pack of hounds in about a half hour, and more sec men. Dinner had taken longer than Baron Harvey had anticipated, and the hunt would now begin as soon as the sonorous bell in the Tower of Front Royal tolled once for the hour after noon. Lori Quint lay back on the narrow bed, knees tucked up to her chin, watching a gray-brown spider as it wound its way across the ceiling. She was wondering who that immensely fat man had been who'd appeared for a moment in the doorway, licking his fleshy lips and muttering in a monotonous and obscene whisper. It was more than enough to make her restless and fearful. The sudden booming of the bell in the tower above made her jump and cry out in shock. Out in the depths of the woods, only 4 miles from where Ryan and his friends waited, Nathan Freeman also heard the noise of the Ville's bell chiming out the first hour after noon. He wondered where Ryan was and what had happened to the old man and the beautiful girl with hair like summer wheat. A little earlier, he detected the sound of horses moving on the old Oxbow Road. The tall young man adjusted the Smith & Wesson Model 39 at his hip and began to walk toward the sweeping bend of the river. Baron Harvey had been assisted into the saddle of his huge stallion, while Ville's servants tucked the silver and maroon cloak about his crooked shoulders. The pair of matched colts were settled snugly on both sides of his belt. His thinning hair was protected from the baking sun by a feathered cap of crimson velvet. He sat atop his mount, beaming happily and vacuously around his domain. The pack of crossbred Rottweilers and Dobermans was behind him, moving excitedly, muzzles thrust into the warm air, sniffing. Now that the hunt was close, they made little noise. Their handlers moved among them, occasionally striking out with short-hafted whips to keep them under control. The tranks the Baron had gulped down after his meal, swilling them into his gullet with brandy, kept him afloat in a cherry-red, cheery cloud of gentle warmth and happiness. His son was dead and vanished. His bitch wife would soon have jolted herself into the grave. There was a pretty little doll with the longest legs waiting in the guardhouse. And his prodigal brother would soon be ragged flesh and gnawed bones.
Ah, life is so good.
Move out!
So good, 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 good.
The sec officer looked toward the distant bell tower.
It's time.
Yeah. Ryan led the others off among the trees. He felt fiercely exultant. There was going to be some chilling done, and that was...